And again, welcome the throngs of you who share this hour on radio. You're now part of the First Baptist Church in Dallas, and this is the pastor bringing the message. I had a most unusual experience Friday morning. As you know, for these days and days, I've been preaching through the Gospel of John. And I have one other message, an exposition of the whole 11th chapter of the Gospel of John. And early Friday morning, I was completing it. And just suddenly, like the Lord speak to me, He said, I want you to change this and prepare a message on prayer. Because of our prayer seminar under Don Miller, I presume it was unconsciously weighing on my heart. So I turned aside immediately and prepared this message on prayer from Luke 11. Luke chapter 11. It came to pass that as he was praying, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. The first word there refers to our Lord as a master teacher. Teach us to pray. Our Lord was so oft-times accosted, introduced, greeted as a wonderful teacher. One of the men from the Sanhedrin in the third chapter of John begins his word to the master like that. Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God. And even the bitter enemies in the Sanhedrin, when they sought to entangle him in his speech in the 22nd chapter of Matthew, they say, Lord, we know that you teach the way of God. All the Gospels say that he went around the villages and the synagogues, teaching the things of the kingdom of heaven. And Matthew writes at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, for he taught them as one that had authority. So here, out of all of the things that the Master taught, the thing that impressed them the most was this teaching concerning prayer. Thus, the appeal, Lord, teach us to pray. It was impressed upon the apostles by the example of the Lord Himself. It's an unusual thing how Luke will refer to the praying of our Lord. Before he was baptized, Luke says, he prayed. He was praying as he was baptized. Luke says, before the apostles were chosen, our Lord prayed all night long. Luke says that our Lord was praying when he was transfigured with Moses and Elijah. And it is Luke alone who says that in the praying in Gethsemane, his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. But something else. Not only were the apostles impressed to ask this question by the example of our Lord, but they came to the conclusion that there was a connection between the public life of our Savior and His secret life of prayer. It was never so seen in Israel, the mightiness, the omnipotence invested in the life and ministry of our Lord. There was power in His hands. He could put His hand up on the blind and they could see, on the deaf and their ears were unstopped, upon the lepers and they'd be cleansed. Such power they'd never seen. There was power in His robes. The Greek word dunamis, translated virtue, power, even in His robes. That poor afflicted woman said in her heart, "If I but touch the hem of His garment, I'll be made whole." There was power in His voice. He could speak, and the storms were stilled. He could call, and the very sheeted dead would rise from the grave. And not only was there power in His voice and in His robes, but His life was unsullied, uncorroded, untouched by the corruptions that afflict all of us weary sinners. He was separate and apart. And the disciples concluded that there was somehow a connection between His secret life of prayer and the marvelous power in His voice, in His words, in His life. So they came to Him and said, "Lord Jesus, that we might know how to reach that power from heaven, that we might have that endowment from above that opens the gates of glory." And we sing a song like that. "Teach me to pray, Lord. Teach me to pray. This is my heart cry day unto day. I long to know Thy will and Thy way. Teach me to pray, Lord. Teach me to pray. Power in prayer, Lord. Power in prayer. Here mid earth's sin and sorrow and care, men lost and dying, souls in despair, oh, give me power, power in prayer. My weakened will, Lord, Thou canst renew. My sinful nature, Thou canst subdue. Fill me just now with power anew, power to pray and power to do. Living in Thee, Lord, and Thou in me, constant abiding, this is my plea. Grant me Thy power, boundless and free, power with men and power with Thee. Lord, teach us to pray." It is a remarkable thing in God's revealed word what prayer can do. In the book of Joshua, "Stop the sun in its orbit over the valley of Ajalon. And 1 Samuel gave into the arms of Hannah a precious baby. And 1 Kings brought fire down from God in heaven and rain from the sky. And Isaiah delivered Jerusalem from Sennacherib and gave 15 years added to the life of Hezekiah. In the book of Daniel, close the mouths of the lions. And in the book of Acts, open the doors of prison. It is remarkable what prayer can do. And we need encouragement in those intercessions. What begins is so simple a thing as to pray, but in continuance, it is so difficult. Even Paul in the 8th chapter of Romans was forced to say, "Oh God, I don't know how to pray as I ought." We don't know how to pray as we ought. So the Lord invites us to his school of prayer. "Come unto me, sit at my feet, and learn of me." And the Lord delights to teach us in that holy and heavenly way. Strange thing, he never taught his disciples how to preach, but he did teach them how to pray. How vital it is if we learn how to speak to men that first we learn how to speak to God. If we have power with men, we must have power with God. So the disciples ask, "Lord, teach us to pray." Almost always, that verse will be misquoted. "Lord, teach us how to pray." That may be implied. I would not deny that it isn't in the background, but it's not in the text, and it's not in the question. "Lord, teach us to pray." It's not natural for us to give up what we want and to accept what God assigns. We have a will that is stubborn and selfish. I want what I want in my way. And oh God, whatever your will may be, I want my will achieved. It's not easy to give up what we want and to accept what God wills. Lord, teach us to pray, the will to pray, and in it to be importunate. Our Lord, when he would teach, would tell little stories, little parables, emphasizing the message that he was bringing to the hearts of the people. And he does it here. In speaking of importunity, staying with it. In the 11th chapter, he tells the story of a man who has a guest. There's no bread in the house. And he goes to his friend and neighbor at midnight, pounds on the door. And the man up there getting out of bed says, "Go away." And the man keeps on pounding. And though he won't give him bread because he's his friend, because of his importunity, Jesus says, he'll come down and give him everything that he wants. When I turn to the 18th chapter of this same Gospel of Luke, it starts off that same way, Jesus saying the same thing again. He spake a parable unto them that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Staying with it. not discouraged, waiting on the Lord, knocking at the door. Then he tells the story of this woman who was not given justice by a corrupt judge, but she stayed with him until he said, "Lest this woman weary me, I'll give her anything she wants." Our Lord says in our praying, we're to be importunate. Stay with it. Stay with it. We see that so encouragingly in the life of God's great servants. On top of Mount Carmel, Elijah said to his servant, and have you ever been to Mount Carmel? It juts out in the Mediterranean Sea. Elijah says to his servant, go stand at the brow of the hill and see if there's rain. Elijah praying for rain. 3.5 years of drought, praying for rain. And the servant came back and said, my master, there's not a cloud in the sky. Elijah pled before the Lord and said to the servant, go to the brow of the hill. And the servant came back and said, the sky is iron and brass. Elijah prayed before the Lord, said to the servant the third time, and he came back. There's not a sign of rain in the heavens. Elijah stayed before the Lord and sent his servant back the fourth time and the fifth time and the sixth time. And when he sent him the seventh time, the servant came back and said, my master, there's a cloud the size of a man's hand. And Elijah said to the king, rise. There's a sound and a sign of an abundance of rain. That's prayer. Lord, I'll not let thee go till you bless me. May I speak of just one other out of so much in the Bible? Importunity in prayer, staying with the Lord. When Jacob stole the blessing from Esau and connived to take away from him his birthright, Esau, furious, said, I'll slay him. With my own hand, I'll kill him. And as you remember, Jacob fled from the wrath of the face of his brother to Padan Aram up there at the top of the Mesopotamian Valley. Then the day came in the passing of many years when God said to Jacob, you go back to Canaan. Take your flocks and your herds and your families and you go back. So Jacob is going back to Canaan. And on his way, when he came to the river Jabbok, a messenger came to Jacob and said, oh, sir, Esau is coming with 400 armed men. And Jacob divided his flocks and his herds and his cattle and sent them ahead of him. Then he divided his families, Zilpha and her children, Bilhah and her children, Leah and her children, and Rachel and little Joseph. And then he stayed before the Lord. And that night, an angel of the Lord, that's another name for Jesus. That's another name for Christ. That's another name for God. An angel of the Lord at the Jabbok wrestled with Jacob. perverse, deceiver, cheater, and couldn't prevail. And he touched his thigh. And the angel of the Lord began to leave, leaving Jacob hurt, crippled. And Jacob clung to him. You can't leave me now. And he clung to the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord said, let me go. It is coming the dawn, and I must go. And Jacob clung to him. You can't go. I'll not leave. You can't leave until you bless me. Importunity. Lord, I'll not let go until you bless me. And the angel of the Lord said, what's your name? And Jacob said, my name is Jacob, deceiver, cheater. And the angel of the Lord said, no longer will your name be Jacob, deceiver, cheater. Your name now and forever will be Israel. Israel, a prince of God. For as a prince of God, you have power with men and with the Lord. And you have prevailed with God. I'll not let you go till you bless me. And the angel said, prince of God, you have prevailed. And the next morning, that morning, Esau came, fierce, with his sword drawn, and with 400 men to slay his brother. When Esau approached, Jacob came to him, halting. And Esau looked upon his brother, and the Bible says, when he saw him, he burst into tears. And ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and welcomed him back to the land of promise. Oh God, what prayer is able to do? What importunity is able to do? I'll not leave thee, Lord, till you bless me. And the Lord said to him, as a prince, you have prevailed. Oh, that we could be like that. Lord God, stand by me, and I'll not let thee go till you answer my prayer. These are going to be great days as we learn together, calling upon the name of our wonderful Savior. Now let's sing us a song. And while we sing it, a family you, a couple you, a one somebody you, coming to the Lord, coming to us, answering a call of the Lord in your heart, as the Spirit shall press the appeal, make it now. Answer now. Lord, you've spoken to my heart today. And here I stand. Welcome. While all of us stand and sing our hymn together. This is God's day and God's choice and God's time for me.